From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. A child is dead and at least five people are missing after a large landslide destroyed three houses and covered the highway about 11 miles outside of Wrangell last night. One woman was rescued from the landslide area this morning and was reported in good condition and receiving medical care by state officials Tuesday afternoon. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel said today that troopers and other local, state, and federal crews are still looking for survivors.
This is very much still a search and rescue operation. We are approaching it with that in mind. And I know that all of our teams on the ground, both volunteer, are looking at it with the same lens.
The names of the girl who died, the survivor, and the missing have not been made public. Search and rescue efforts resumed this afternoon after geologists determined parts of the slide area were stable. But State Geologist Barrett Salisbury said the rain forecast means that stable areas could still shift more.
It looks like there's a lot of moisture in the next week, and that's not a great forecast for being in and around that area.
The slide, which was about 500 feet wide where it crossed the road, also cut power to many homes and forced evacuations along the Zamovia Highway. Local officials have urged between 20 and 30 people living near the landslide to evacuate the area with the help of the local fire department and water taxis. Evacuees are being housed in local hotels. On Tuesday, the National Weather Service in Juneau told KSTK that just over 3 inches of rain fell in Wrangell during a 24-hour period beginning earlier Monday morning. Geologist Salisbury says heavy rains can increase the already present risk of landslides in southeast Alaska.
It's virtually impossible to predict this kind of catastrophe, but we do know that the risk of landslides, specifically this type of landslide known as a debris flow, the risk of a debris flow is present throughout southeast Alaska, where we have steep slopes. And we know that heavy rainfall or rapid snow melt or otherwise putting lots of moisture into the soil makes those risks greater.
Salisbury says people in the area should be on high alert for sounds of rumbling or crackling trees, new springs of water, or physical changes to houses or property, like swelling ground or shifting porches or foundations. Zamovia Highway has been closed to the public from 6 Mile on, with the exception of local access. There's no timeline for when people who live beyond the landslide might be able to return home. There's also no update on when power might be restored for approximately 75 homes without power between 9 Mile and the end of Wrangell's Highway. Wrangell Public Schools are canceled tomorrow. Evergreen Elementary School will be open between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. to offer support services. There's been an outpouring of community support from local congregations, organizations, and businesses. Governor Mike Dunleavy issued a state declaration Tuesday morning to support the response and recovery. In Juneau, a blizzard brought high winds to downtown and several inches of snow to the Mendenhall Valley on Monday. National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Park says the valley got 3 to 6 inches of snow and light wind. Meanwhile, downtown faced 60 to 70 mile per hour gusts.
If you stayed in the valley the whole day, you might have thought it was a beautiful winter wonderland day with not a whole lot going on. But as soon as you poked your head out past Lena or Lemon Creek and headed downtown, the story changed.
Power went out at Douglas Harbor early Monday evening. Heavy winds damaged and ultimately sank a boat in Harris Harbor. Matthew Cresswell is Juneau's harbor master.
We are currently working with the owner and the U.S. Coast Guard for recovery efforts and pollution mitigation. Doesn't seem to be a big pollution threat from the vessel, but potential is always there.
Capital Transit buses will run on modified snow routes until midnight. That means there's no bus service on Franklin Street and 4th Street downtown or on Cordova Street in Douglas. More snow accumulated out the road. Park said residents from Lena to Tea Harbor reported 8 to 12 inches of snow. Snowfall in other southeast communities also hit the double digits. Park says Gustavus residents reported 8 to 15 inches, and Hoona and Angoon got at least 16 inches of snow. Juneau's forecast calls for rain through the rest of the week. Tonight, we can expect a quarter to a half an inch of rain with a low of 37 degrees. Tomorrow, a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain with a high near 40 degrees. Winds staying around 10 miles per hour tonight and tomorrow. 78 Alaska Native tribes have signed on to letters urging the Bureau of Land Management to maintain longstanding protections on millions of acres of land throughout the state. As KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, tribes say the potential opening of the lands to development poses a direct threat to indigenous ways of life.
In a series of moves by the federal government since 2019, the amount of lands across the state from which Alaska Native Vietnam War veterans can select allotments has grown to roughly 29.5 million acres. Under the allotment program, vets or their descendants can claim 160-acre parcels, regardless of where they live. 28 million of those acres could soon be open to potential mineral exploration and development, depending on the results of an environmental impact statement set to be released by the Bureau of Land Management as early as mid-December. That's a cause for concern for dozens of tribes in the state. 78 tribes have signed letters urging the BLM to maintain longstanding protections for the lands. Frank Kachetag is tribal president of the village of Unalakleet and vice chair of the Bering Sea Interior Tribal Commission, representing 38 of the tribes calling for protection.
It was right in our backyards, and the fear is the headwaters where our salmon spawn. We are going through salmon crashes throughout the state of Alaska.
The land that Kachetag refers to as his backyard is called the Bering Sea Western Interior Planning Area. It contains the lion's share of the land in question, more than 13 million acres. Much of it lies along the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, with large portions also overlapping the southern range of the declining Western Arctic caribou herd.
It makes no sense to impose any kind of mining until our sustainable resource has rebounded.
The 28 million acres that could be open to development are classified as D1 lands. They are unreserved public lands set aside under the authority of the Interior Secretary following passage of the 1971 Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. They have been off limits to development ever since. The tribe's letters to Interior Secretary Deb Haaland say opening millions of acres of D1 lands poses a serious threat to indigenous ways of life. They also say the already apparent effects of climate change warrant continued protection. Kachetag says it's serious.
And I've said it to the Bureau of Land Management. This is the beginning of genocide.
Supporters of opening the 28 million acres in question, including Alaska Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, say the ANCSA-era land withdrawals are outdated and unnecessary. Both have called for opening D1 lands. Former President Donald Trump's Interior Secretary signed orders to open the lands in the final days of his presidency, but that was quickly reversed by the incoming Biden administration, citing legal deficiencies and a need to consult with Alaska Native tribes and corporations. Sullivan has characterized the moratorium, now in the environmental review stage, as an injustice to Alaska Native veterans, though applications for allotments on the lands in question are still being accepted. Kachetag says that he supports the effort to honor promises to veterans, but that he wants more tribes to sign on to the effort to keep D1 protections in place.
And I've said to Sullivan and Murkowski, I could eat a lot of salmon, but I sure can't swallow a chunk of gold. Once the land is scarred, we are forever impacted.
For now, veterans and their heirs who have missed out on the opportunity to claim their rightful allotments will have first pick of the D1 lands. But depending on the results of the BLM draft environmental impact statement expected as early as mid-December, they may not end up the only stakeholders of this vast swath of wilderness. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
A lawsuit filed Friday in federal court accuses the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District of violating 6 students' constitutional rights by removing 56 books from school library shelves last spring. The district removed the books in April at the direction of the Matsu School Board, which had received some complaints. Then, this fall, the board appointed a Library Citizens Advisory Committee to review the books. The committee has reviewed 12 books so far, 8 of which they recommended should only be kept in high school libraries but removed from middle and elementary schools. The plaintiffs in the lawsuit filed Friday are represented by the ACLU of Alaska and the Northern Justice Project. The plaintiffs issued a press release on Friday that noted many of the protagonists in the challenged books are people of color or LGBTQ characters. Matsu School District spokesperson Jillian Morrissey said Monday the district has not been served with the lawsuit and declined to comment.